you know, and again, we're only 48 hours removed from the game. But I think from an offensive standpoint, we had some guys in there playing, and we got a positive contribution from all the guys that were in the game. You know, a lot of attention obviously paid to the performance that Nick had. But I think for the most part, you know, we did some things in the game, I think, that were positive. You know, we eliminated all the pre-snap penalties except for one. You know, we, for the last, you know, I think we did a good job of taking care of the football, except for the one fumble. We got some explosive plays. We were pretty efficient in the run game. And so we did a lot of the things you need to do to win. The challenge for us now is to do it on a consistent basis and get our guys back out here going today, and do what we can to beat Dallas, another division opponent. Dallas is a very, very fine football team. They won a lot of games already. And, you know, it's going to be a great challenge for us. So we're deep into the preparation. And as we get ready for Dallas, I'm sure you guys have some questions, and I'll try to answer them for you.
What's the plan with the quarterbacks today at practice?
Well, we're gonna practice the guys that are out there. So, you know, if you know, just like last week, if Nick and Mike are ready to go, they'll both practice.
Who's going to get the first team snaps?
Well, we'll just see when we're out here today practicing. But, again, at this point, Nick, you know, is until – and, again, going back on that question, I could probably answer some of the ones that are going to come along here. Coach Kelly will address those issues about who the quarterback is when both of them are healthy. You know, and at this point, you know, we, you know, we'll go with Nick, and then when Mike's healthy, then we'll have that discussion.
Are those two as evenly matched as you can remember two quarterbacks being during your time in this league?
Well, they both are. I think they're both very fine quarterbacks, and when you look at it, in our three victories, they contributed equally. You know, and they do different things well, and they can both be very, very effective and efficient in our offense. And so,
if DeMarcus Ware doesn't play, how significant is Dallas' defense weakened?
Well, he's an outstanding player, has been for a long time, and you know, I'm sure they'll find ways to compensate. But when you have a great player like DeMarcus Ware, a guy that by the nature of his position puts pressure on the quarterback, you know, I'm sure they're going to do what they can to make up for it. But that's not, you know.
Pat, what are the advantages of Michael Vick and then the advantages of Nick Foles? They have different qualities. Mm-hmm. What's the advantage of Foles and Vick? Just explain to
us. Well, I think they're both. I think, number one, you know, Nick moves a little bit better than some people give him credit for. And then I think Mike operates from the pocket a little bit better than some people give him credit for. And so they both can function equally well in our offense. And I think they've both been very efficient. You know, we caught a game last week where Nick did a nice job of completing his deep balls. He made good decisions in the run game, which is very important for us. You know, but Mike's done the same thing. And so, you know, I think we'll sit here and try to compare the two players. But for the most part, they both can do anything we want them to do for us to be successful on offense.
What is their relationship like inside the classroom? How do they work off each other? They've talked about being very close.
I think we got a good quarterback room. I think those guys all work well. In my experience with quarterback rooms, if it's not the room's not right, then it's hard for the starter to play well, and it's hard for the guys that aren't the starters to develop. But they both, along with Matt, you know, the room is good. Bill does a good job of directing them. The room is good, and you know, the time that I spend in there with them and on the field, you see them trying to support the guy that's the starter. But in total, they're all just trying to get better.
What was the biggest difference in the red zone last week? Was it execution or just different play calling than we've had the last few weeks?
We hit on some. We didn't have as many bad plays as we've had in the past, and we hit on the passes that we threw, and then we ran the ball in as well. So, you know, we just played better in the red zone. And for those of you that are number crunchers, you know, at the end of the game, we played the game right, and it went against us in terms of our red zone efficiency. You know, we were fighting to make the Buccaneers use their timeouts. We knew that a field goal made it two scores. And so, you know, that's one of those one of those things. We could have even been better in terms of our touchdown percentage, but what we were trying to do there was right based on where we were in the game. So,
does that have anything to do with Nick being the quarterback as successful in the red zone?
We'd have played the game exactly the same way. We would have had all the same plays in the game plan, and we would have called it exactly the same way if Mike was playing.
Because his percentage, I mean, in the red zone, your percentage with Nick in the red zone is a lot better than it has been with Mike.
The passes that we threw in the red zone Sunday, we would have called the exact same passes if Mike was quarterback.
There's two different quarterbacks, though, right? Two different styles, two different heights. The execution can be different.
Well, we expect them to execute and be efficient. And really the plays that we call, you know, you don't call certain plays for a tall quarterback and certain ones for a guy that's not as tall.
Chip said yesterday that Marley Cooper's been open, just hadn't been getting the ball. Why was that for the first five games?
I don't know. Each play is different. But I've said this before, and I really believe it. Catches and targets first, of course, and then catches, they come in bunches. And the ball went Coop's way. And he did a good job of catching it, and so it's a credit to him.
Now, following up on what you said about that passer and the importance of it being right, how would you do you worry about if it'll stay right as outside voices get louder about who should be quarterback and puts those guys under the spotlight?
Nope, not at all. We don't really worry about what the outside voices say. What we try to do is get the players ready to play the next opponent.
Do you think they're conscious of it, though? Because that might be conscious.
You'd have to ask them. But I know this. They're professionals. You know, this isn't the first time they've been through this type of stuff. And as a quarterback, you deal with it. Anybody that plays any position deals with it. In my mind, it's a quarterback conversation. I don't know what, you know. I understand the interest. I understand the number crunching, comparing, you know, the two quarterbacks. But, you know, at the end of the day, when you're asking me the questions, what we're trying to do is get the guys that are healthy ready to play. And the decision-making comes down to what Coach Kelly decides, the guys that are out there.
Pat, with all the injuries to quarterbacks this year, do you think the league at some point, maybe not now, will trend to having two quarterbacks who are capable of starting and all that? Sometimes there's always a drop-off between the starter and the backup guy.
Yeah, I think it's important that we continue to develop quarterbacks. And that's probably a discussion for the off season, you know, when you talk about how you structure your rosters and whatnot. But typically, you know, your starter is better than your back. In our situation, we've got two guys that have gone in one game, so ours is a little bit unique. But in a lot of places, you know, there's probably a drop off between their first and second guy.
You've had one turnover in the last three games. I think so, yeah. Why? Is there something that's changed, Pat? Did you guys do something differently out in practice field? So,
no, for those of you that have been here watching, but what you have seen, we just emphasize it, you know, and I think our guys have done a good job of securing the football. There are times, though, when we don't secure the ball and it doesn't get exposed, and so there's always something to work on. And I've said it before, you know, you typically get what you emphasize, and it's been a big point of emphasis. Has been throughout the off-season training and training camp, but our guys have just done a good job.
Pat, is the Cowboys predominantly a Tampa 2 team?
No, actually they're not. I mean, they play Tampa 2. When they play too deep, they play Tampa 2. But, you know, most of the time they're playing with a single safety. So, you know, they play single safety man and zone, and they play split safety, man and zone.
Pat, Deshaun through his career has never really been a red zone guy. He only had 4 touchdowns in his career until the Giants game in the red zone, inside the 15. He's got 2 in the last 2 weeks. Just talk about that evolution of his game. Is it a conscious thing that you've kind of expanded what he does?
No, I think he's, you know, I've said it before that I think he can be an effective player all the way up and down the field. And he did a good job last week with the routes that he ran. And, you know, I don't know if we're consciously trying to evolve him into a better red zone player, but, you know, when his number was called, he did a good job. And, you know, I think as a receiver, you know, you just really want to make sure you're running good routes. And, you know, you want the quarterback to be confident in what you're doing, and then when the ball comes your way, catch it. And I think he's working on all those things.
If we look at the playing time each week, Zach really just creeping up each week in terms of the amount of snaps he has. What's he been showing you in practice, and where do you see this continuing?
Yeah, I think, you know, we had one of those games last week where James Casey was not up, so he took a couple extra reps.
But James is never really...
Well, it's but he played a little bit more. And again, I think Ertz is doing a good job. I think Zach is improving. There's a lot going on for rookies in this league when they're trying to make a major contribution, and I think he's improving each week. But that doesn't that's not the reason he's playing more. But you know, he's one of the guys that's up and active, and we use him.
But could you see him as the top tight end?
Well, I think what he needs to do is continue to improve. Right now, you know, Brent Celek is our top tight end, and for a lot of reasons that, you know, I really admire. He's one of the toughest guys we got. He fights. He does everything we ask. And when typically when the ball comes his way, he does a good job.
On both of Deshaun's touchdowns, he was lined up in the spot.
The one he caught in the back of the end zone, he was lined up outside, actually.
Okay. But, I mean, the one he caught when he was
the deep ball. Deep ball, he was in the slot.
Right. Yep. Is that done, like, for matchups, or are you trying to, like, move Deshaun around?
No, we line him up in the slot. You know, we were slot to our right side, which, you know, he can be. We put him everywhere. We'll line up three receivers to the left or right, and we'll put him at the first, second, and third spot. And then we'll line up in the slot, put him inside, outside, and then, you know, typically he plays his position, which is mostly on the right. So we play him everywhere.
What's the benefit of being in the slot? What do you see as why do you think it's a...
There are certain route concepts, certain things we do in the run game where we want him in there. And, you know, each week, that's part of our competitive advantage, is not talking about why.
How's Chip Kelly improved as a play caller since the start of the season?
I think he's a good play caller. I think he was early in the season as well. I don't see any. I think we all improve as coaches and players as you go throughout the year because we get used to working with one another. But the reason he's the head coach here is he was an outstanding play caller, won a lot of games, and I think he's doing all those same things.
He used a lot of unbalanced line last week, Pat, in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Why do you like it, and why is it so effective?
Well, in the fourth quarter, we were in what we call our four-minute drill, where we're trying to advance the football and chew some clock, you know. And I think that was a really gritty drive by our guys, even though we did not score a touchdown. And we visited on a plane, Merrill and I, about it. We did not score a touchdown by moving the ball down the field methodically. We were chewing clock. And then in the last go-round there, when they jumped off sides on fourth down, it then allowed us to chew up their timeouts. And then by kicking the field goal, of course, it makes it two scores. And the unbalanced line is just something that the defense has to adjust to. And we'll use it in the four-minute drill, but we'll use it out in the field. Heck, we might start the game with an unbalanced line call.
Does Celek's competency, as a blocker, that because he is taking on defensive end.
His ability to block helps us there for sure, no question.
What's the key from the quarterback's perspective in executing a successful screen?
Well, I think it's important. Number one, screens are a good way to slow down the rush. You know, if you look at it from outside in, they were pressuring us and getting after us a little bit, bringing edge pressure. And we carry screens in every game. There's some games when we use them more than others. But it needs to look like a pass, you know. And then of course, the quarterback has to, you know, he's got to take his normal drop. And whatever he's doing with his initial drop, then retreat a couple steps and then locate the screen runner. You know, there's times when you got to throw it in a lane between people. But they're always prepared to go up and over. And we did a good job of getting the screens completed. And then, of course, I thought we did an excellent job of blocking on the perimeter on the two screens to the halfback and then, of course, the one to Brent.
The screen to LeSean, the first play, it looked like you had Deshaun in motion the other way. Do you think that really picked Tampa was following him?
Well, we did the same thing. Then we flipped the play and ran the screen the other way later in the game. I don't know. I think Deshaun in the backfield kind of draws a little attention. We actually did the same thing and then ran the ball later just before half. So, you know, try to window dress it, you know.
That's something you seem to be doing a lot of, running the same plays, even if they're towards a different side. What's the thinking behind that? Is it more than maybe you've done in the past when you were a pitcher?
No, we've done it. I think all play callers will run the same play if they have success, you know. Sometimes developing a tendency is a good thing. It means you're good at stuff, you know. I think that's, you know, I heard that said once before, you know. But then, of course, you got to be able to make it look like one thing and do another as well. So that's all the fun stuff we worry about when we're not visiting with you guys.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right.